Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
The more times you can take off the crown of like people saying like, oh, you have it. You're so good. You're like, take it off. Nope. Take it off. And that has like, and that removes all type of performance pressure. It's like, nope, this is the true me. This is who I am.
What's up, fam? This is your boy, JJ. We have an awesome mini manso with you guys today. I'm pulling in the big guns, Caleb Ward, who is married to Janine Amapola. You guys might have seen them on the Happy and Healthy podcast. I don't know if he's the official co-host yet. I think he should be. But man, today was really fun. It's a little bit of a different episode. We're a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more fun. And Caleb, man, I guess he can't help but ask awesome questions. I was kind of frustrated because I'm like, dude, you're a guest on our podcast, let me ask you the questions. But that's just the kind of guy he is. We have a great friendship off the podcast, and he just can't help but be humble and curious and ask awesome questions. So I think you guys will really enjoy the episode. One big thing is just like, hey, why do you want to do hard things? Why do you want to excel in life? Why do you want to have a vision? And I think that heart is the most important thing you could ever ask yourself. Before we jump into the episode today, the two things I got for you today on what I'm loving is, number one, I would say what I'm loving is, hey, if you go to Amazon, basically, if you guys didn't know this, I used to work for Amazon. I was a buyer, and I still work in e-commerce on Amazon specifically. And whatever brand, you know, that you really enjoy and you really like, for the most part, when it comes to like consumer electronic products, like chargers or cameras or headphones, or, you know, for me today, it's like Lululemon and Aloe, really nice athleisure clothing. Is all these manufacturers in China keep the products that they make, and then another buyer comes and says, hey, I want to make this exact same thing, maybe just a little bit less nice. And those products typically find themselves on Amazon or an Alibaba or, you know, Temu, who had like 5 Super Bowl ads, which was crazy. So for me, I love like Lululemon and Aloe shorts, but I don't own a single pair of them. Bird Dogs are the same ones that they have like the built-in liner. So I actually love like the knockoff athleisure Lulu shorts, and you can find those on Amazon. I think my favorite one that I found is Crazy Yoga, and they're great. I'm about to buy another couple pairs of them. So yeah, that's what I'm loving in my life lately. And then in my DMs, you guys, please keep sliding in my DMs. Here's the question I got last week that I really loved. Hi, JJ. Should your girlfriend tell you when she's ready to be proposed to, or how should one do it after 8 months of dating? How do I know the signals? Hey, I think this is a great question. Fun fact, Kate actually told me at the 6-month mark that she was, you know, wanting and looking forward to being, you know, married to me, if that was a decision that I wanted to make. She also kind of gave me a timeline saying, hey, I'm not here to waste time. And if you don't propose to me in the next 6 to 8 months, then I'm going to have to consider walking away. Now, not everyone is as direct and as forward as Kate. There's not really a right way or a wrong way to do this. I would just say the healthy way, though, is to talk about it. Like, if you've been dating over 3 months or 6 months, like as a man, I really think what it looks like to lead with clarity is to say, hey, there's a direction that this relationship is going. I'm not here to waste your time. I'm not here to waste my time. If I am dating you and we have moved into the relationship phase, it's because we both here really want to evaluate each other as a romantic partner for life, right? As a husband and as a wife. Now, after you get into a relationship, listen, like, I just, people get really caught up on this. People are going to get engaged to each other at different times of life, whether it be at 7 months, a year, 2 years. Like, it's really hard to give prescriptive advice for everyone's story. Our rule of thumb is just, hey, 12 months is a perfect amount of dating. There's no rush to get to 12 months. And at 6 to 12 months, I really think that's the time where, as men and women, you really finalize and decide whether or not this is someone I can and should marry. Okay. And in that time, I love, before you decide to marry them, something like pre-engagement counseling is such a wonderful and wise idea. A lot of people wait till they get engaged and send this, you know, the save the dates and put the deposit on the venue to do something like premarital counseling. I'm like, it doesn't really make sense to talk about, quote, the skeletons in the closet or the big red flags or the big deal breakers after the ring is on the fact. Those are some things that you should definitely be talking about before you make the decision to get engaged. Because in my mind, once you're engaged to someone, you've made it really, really hard to walk away. And you're much more close to getting married than you are to just dating and being single and walking away. So yeah, I would say at 8 months, like, you should be having those conversations, to be honest, as a man. Hey, like, I'm very much inclined on keeping this relationship alive. I definitely see you as someone who I could marry. I would not put timelines on it, but I would just say I would love to make a decision, right, about marrying you in the next 6 months, 12 months. I would love to make a decision about marrying you soon. Like, I have intention here. Anyway, that was a long intro. I love you guys. Please enjoy this episode with Caleb, and I will see you guys next week. Let's go. Caleb, my buzz brother, aka Travis Kelce, aka Paul Walker.
Come on.
What's good, man?
Dude, I'm a little tired, but you know, I feel like if you're in your 20s or 30s, you just have no excuse. You can't say you're tired because, I don't know. I read a stat that was, I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard on a podcast, so it's probably true. But they were saying how when you get married or you have a child, which you're about to experience, your testosterone levels plummet. And since I've gotten married, I've been like really taking my vitamins, really exercising, running a half marathon in 18 days. So I've been really training for that. So my body hurts, but we're here.
Okay. Well, so fun fact, I know why the T levels drop. Do you know why? It's not because it's actually, you know, very common for a guy to say, oh, you're having a baby, get ready for your T levels to drop, buy that red meat, like get on that carnivore diet. It's because of one reason: you sleep less. It's literally because you sleep less. And when you get married, you probably sleep less than when you did, obviously, because there's just new things happening and, you know, you're on different schedules. And then when you have a baby, obviously you sleep way less.
You know, I've heard this, a lot of men who have childs, you know, or children, and they're like, oh, I'm not sleeping a ton. I'm not sleeping at all. I'm not sleeping at all. Do you think that that's played out? Do you think genuinely dudes who are having a baby, you know, married couples who have a baby are actually sleeping 2 to 3 hours, 4 hours at a time? Or do you think that's just something people say?
Well, I'll tell you in about a month, and I'll give you like an honest, non-dramatic perspective. How's that? But,
dude,
you know, it is funny. Like, I think about college, and I'm like, man, you want to know how you know someone did an all-nighter and stayed up? They'll tell you. First thing.
That's so true.
They'll tell you. It's just like, they can't help but tell you, people can't help but, they can't help tell you about two things in life. Not sleeping, or the second one is, this one blows my mind because once I tell you, you're going to see it everywhere.
Yeah.
People have to tell other people that they've fasted in some kind of capacity.
Sure. Yeah. Or ice baths. Like, I feel like it's either like ice baths. It used to be CrossFit. Now it's like kind of gone into that. I don't know. Everyone has to tell you about how hard they're working. I'm running right now. So I'm, of course, telling everybody that I'm running. And so
but why
do you think that is?
Well, it's a good question. The ice bath thing, dude, I'm like, I love that for you guys. you don't have to put it on your Instagram story every single time you ice bath. And I think it's maybe I'm just like pissed that I don't have a nice $500 ice bathtub in my backyard, but it is like guys can't help but share.
Yeah, but I do feel like once you've done it, I've done it twice. When you do it, you need to tell people about it, because what it does to your body and your brain, the serotonin it kicks in, it's unbelievable. And then you get kind of mad because you start viewing as other people like, oh, you're really like, you're weak if you don't experience what this is. When you go on an 8-mile run, like, it's hard to not tell people because of how difficult it is. And you just want people to know, you know?
Okay. Well, listen, I agree. Well, here's the thing. I did them in college. I played football, and we, like, it was ice bath, and not because all the entrepreneurs were doing it. We did it for recovery, right? And we would, from high school on, you know, we'd ice bath and work out in pretty tough conditions. But that was just part of our regimen, our program. And I think probably what we're getting to is, there's just something about doing something hard and feeling the sense of accomplishment that we can't help but share.
We're also lazy. Like, our generation of men, like, are lazy. I was lazy in different areas. I think we're all pretty, I think every human or every man especially is very disciplined in certain areas of their life. It could be one or two things. Or, like, for me, before I got married, my diet was horrible. Like, I was lazy when it came to, you know, cooking the right foods and all the things. And so I feel like becoming more disciplined as a man is essential to evolving into the man that you want to be. And that's the kick I'm on right now.
You don't think any generation of men before us were lazy?
I don't think they could be. I think they were lazy and probably, like, you know, I just feel like men back in the day had to wake up at a different time. There was a different layer of expectation. There was less ways to make money. So it's not like you could, you know, create money by being on social media or starting your own business. I mean, you could.
Or marrying an influencer.
Or, like, I don't know. There was a different layer of expectation. And I don't know. You see now that it's like people talking about, you know, they want the work week to be, you know, 3 days. There's work from home. And even when I was in corporate, you know, up until a few months ago, dude, I was telling our boss, we need remote day. You'll do anything to just get out of that, you know, corporate mundane. So yeah, I think our older generation had it tougher.
There's probably some truth to that. But hey, am I catching wind of, are you a hustle guy? Like, are you a grind guy? Are you, like, you listen to YouTube videos, like, day and night before these runs? Like, talk to me.
You know my toxic trait?
What?
My toxic trait, it's not, like, keeping up with the Kardashians. It's not this. It's not, you know, even really Netflix or YouTube or whatever. It's reels of, like, these cheesy Steve Harvey motivational, like, or T.D. Jakes or Jocko and David Goggins. And it's like, you want to be a
man? That's your guilty pleasure.
Oh my gosh. If I want to go run 8 miles, I'll just, like, go on my Instagram reels. And it's just like some guy on a podcast talking about how you're not, you know, doing enough. Yeah.
There's probably a little bit more expletive language in there. Dude, right?
there's a video from Jocko that I listen to when I'm feeling tired. And I got this from listening to one of Joe Rogan's podcasts, but it was, you feel tired? Good. Oh, you feel sad? And he's like, good. Oh, your marriage is struggling right now? Good. And he's like, you need to go through that to be able to experience what good even is. So good. So anytime you wake up at 5 a.m. and you slept 2 hours, good. And it's just like, gosh, that gets me going. I don't know why, bro.
Hey, listen. So first of all, nice flex that your guilty pleasure is listening to pump up, you know, like, hustle videos from David Goggins. That's man, I can't believe that's your guilty pleasure. Well, like, you're just...
Motivation is fleeting, though. That's why it's a guilty pleasure.
It is fleeting because, and this, dude, it's so funny. There's this,
there's this Reddit post I saw the other day, and it was like, screw you, David Goggins. And he goes, my son started watching your videos about a month ago, and the kid is out of control now. He dismantled his bed. He started sleeping on the floor because unnecessary mattress softness induces homosexuality. He put a pull-up bar in his room, and he's locked in there for hours doing pull-ups. The other day, I got up at 4 to use the bathroom, and I hear him yelling to himself, who's going to carry the boats? He's never seen or even been on a boat in his life. And then it just goes on and on and on about this 8-year-old. And she's like, you need to fix this, David Goggins.
Bro, he's the reason I almost tore my Achilles. It was about 2 years ago. I got a hold of his stuff and he was just like, you don't need to do rest days. Like, rest days are an invention we created in a society to help produce or to help companies who are, you know, I forgot his reference, but he basically was like, pharma has told you that you need to rest. So you're at home buying more potato chips or you're subscribing to more TV channels. And so I started running, training for a marathon just randomly, dude, just randomly. I'm post 2 knee surgeries. Like, doctors are like, don't run. And David Goggin is calling me a B word. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he's right.
Well, I hear you. I would say this, but always remember and listen with the soul and heart of who you are and how God created us. Because the second I hear the no rest days, I'll take that and I'll get amped up and I'll get out, you know. And I'll be honest, I wake up every day at 4:45 a.m. Some days on the way to the gym, I'll put up Schwarzenegger, I'll put up Goggins, I'll put up Lionel Scott. There's all these great YouTube videos. And yeah, they get me amped up. But even just Goggins right there, it's so easy to drink the Kool-Aid. And I'm like, wait a second, let me think about this with my heart and soul and guidance of what's got me to this point in life. And it's not motivation. It's how God's designed me. And God, and I'm like, no rest days. I'm like, tell that to the God of the universe, right? Who, after creating and doesn't need a rest, he doesn't need a rest day, chose a seventh day to rest.
Well, here's a perfect example of that. During when I was doing the no rest day thing, I ended up straining my Achilles. I had a pull out from the marathon. I didn't run again. So I ran every day for about a month there. I think I trained for a month and a half. Quit because I hurt my Achilles. I didn't run again for a year and a half later. And now I'm running a half marathon in 18 days. And I run once a week. And the rest of the days I recover, I do my therapy exercises and I do other exercises. But I rest now. And now
it's the opposite.
It's kind of like it's a blend, it's a balance. But I just believe in my heart that we don't have to train ourselves to take rest days. I think that just comes naturally. So I don't think that we need to, I don't think a lot of people have the issue of, I need to rest. It's like that, I think that comes naturally. So I think I would err on the side of work as hard as you can, because ultimately, like when you're really tired, eventually your body just falls asleep. And so I think we should find a balance, but I think we should push ourselves a lot more than we're pushing ourselves usually. I think what we see nowadays.
Yeah, there's probably, you know, you could probably split the personalities into people who need to hear they need to work harder, right? Yeah. And they're being lazy. And then there's the other side, which is, you know, probably like your Enneagram 3s, your perfectionists, mm-hmm. your high performers who are just like, hey, you need to cool off. Like, not everything in your life is built right off what you're doing.
I think I'm the guy who's not lazy when it comes to like performance and like exercise and like stuff that I enjoy. But like, I'm back in school right now finishing up my undergrad, and I hate it, dude. 30 minutes there, I'd rather be going on a run for 4 hours. Like, I have to be disciplined in that, but I am extra lazy when it comes to my studies. And so I wish I could take a little bit of what I have over here and bring it to knowledge and reading and but things that like will pay off more down the road, because ultimately,
isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Isn't that funny how there's like some things for you that are extremely easy and you find so much pleasure and joy in, and then you just absolutely loathe and hate things over here, right? And then you could find another guy, you know, who's he's got his master's in divinity, right? And he's like, you're telling me I can skip a 30-minute workout and go read literature for 30 minutes and write an essay on it? Like, sign me up, right?
That's rough. No. You said the word divinity. You said divinity?
Yeah, master's of divinity. Yeah.
I went to Bible college for about 6 months. And man, Bible scholars are a different level of like intelligence. Like, have you talked to a Bible scholar before?
Yeah.
You won't think you're a good Christian after talking to a Bible scholar.
Oh, they're incredibly intelligent and they've taken all their time and effort, right? And it's just honed on one thing, the Bible. And I do feel like a dumb Christian sometimes when I'm around. But I do think actually though, the most intelligent Bible scholars you'll meet though can explain very complex and difficult things to a third grader. That actually is like the ones who lose me. I'm like, I'm not saying they're not smart. I'm actually saying the most intelligent of them though can take the most complex things. But and we'll talk a lot. I think, you know, we talk about hard work. And I don't know about you, but I grew up with this quote, which is hard work beats talent every day, especially when talent doesn't work hard. And my dad like drilled that into me because I was a chubby white boy who was just not that good at sports, not very good at football. I played like fullback and linebacker and I wanted to be a quarterback. And so I had to learn, you know, how to be a quarterback. And, you know, I look back and I'm like, dude, to be honest, like this hard work, preaching myself to work hard and have work ethic, you know, it works to a degree, but it just falls so flat of, I think, how we're designed as men. You know, instead, and what I wish I would have known at 16, 17 that I didn't realize until college and even to where I'm at today as a husband and soon to be father is this, you know, the idea of telling someone to work hard for work hard's sake is just stupid. It's just bullcrap. And that's where I think hustle culture kind of falls short. I think you have to have a purpose and a vision that is so alluring to you, that you are so desperate and hungry for, that you say, guess what? I'll do anything to get there. I want to be the most in shape. I want to be the best husband I can. And I'm desperate. I am desperate to be at that place. And I'll do, therefore, anything to get there. And that will fuel my hard work in the short term and the long term more than anything else I could ever listen to, right? And emotionally get myself amped up on and actually last me a lifetime. But is that something that you feel like you've learned, or where do you think you fall when it comes to doing hard things, why they've been so hard for you, and how it maybe feeds into vision and purpose?
Yeah, I feel like I think every month I really take a look at my life and I'm like, what am I neglecting? And so when I was engaged for about 6-7 months to Janine, my diet, I wasn't doing any cardio. I wasn't disciplined in the areas that I knew I needed to be disciplined in. And when I started running and I started doing things I didn't like doing, what it was doing was, in that process, my brain started firing in different ways. Like, I can't believe I'm running 5 miles right now. Never thought I could do that. And then you start like, your brain starts going, well, maybe I can do that thing I was neglecting in like school. And like, maybe I could go to medical school and I could, you know, read my Bible now, or I could, you know, manage my feelings when I'm angry better. And I could be a better husband in this way. I find it that when I'm doing things that are very difficult for me, it opens up new pathways into my brain of like other things I'm neglecting. That being said, when I went on an 8-mile run, I got home and Janine needs my help with stuff around the house and she needs me to show up and be a husband. And I'm like, babe, I'm tired. I'm sore now. And so you can't let your do hard things outside of your marriage, outside of your, and let that come into like your marriage and like as an excuse to like not show up. So like if you're in school and you're working 60-hour weeks, well, I'm sorry. Like it doesn't give you the excuse to then go and treat someone badly because you're tired or you don't have the capacity or you're not checking in on your friends because you just can't do another you know, social thing because your brain has worked.
Here's the thing, and I love how you said it. It's who are you giving your best to and first? Meaning I would when I first started waking up early and trying to instill more discipline and habits, and I go to the gym, I could try and like practically justify these things in my life. And I was like, all of a sudden I'd be getting home, I'd be helping Kate, I would still be productive, and my quiet time at home was distracted. It wasn't as rich as I'd love it to be. And I was just sitting there, I was like, man, I'm giving my best effort towards building my body in a pseudo twisted way that's really for me at the end of the day and not necessarily for God. If I can wake up and go work out and give that my best, I can wake up even earlier and give God my best first. And I notice within myself, I'm not a late night, 9 o'clock, you know, guy as far as giving God my best. So for me, I was like, just wind the clock back, create as much time as I need. And that's where, before I even go into the gym, I'll sit in my car for 20, 30, 40 minutes and I'll do my devotional. I'll do my prayer time. I'll do my worship. And I'm just sitting in the parking lot because for me, that's become like my quiet place. And I want to arrange my goals alongside my priorities in life. Like I want to be in great shape, right? I want to take care of my body, but that's not my God. So why all of a sudden would I be giving my best effort and time first to that if my priority I say right and declare is God number one, then my wife, and then my body?
Why do you think that if you take a Christian who works out a ton, he's running all the time, it's really healthy, he's in like really good shape, and someone could go, oh, you have a vanity issue, or you that this is your idol. But you could take a Christian who, you know, has their Jesus time but is lazy, they live a sedentary life. And no one would call them out for their lifestyle because it would be seemed or deemed as being rude or unempathetic or that you're judging. You know what I mean? I feel like there's a double standard there.
There is, but I think it's, you know, the heart behind your why matters so deeply, I think, right? Like, think about that Christian who works out and stewards his body. We have to be deeply honest with ourselves at the end of the day. When I look at myself in the mirror and I see my body changing and growing and getting more in shape, there's a celebration in that. But I have to be so deeply right. Me, JJ, I have to be so sincere when I say, when I want to work out, and Paul talks about this idea of in Corinthians, he wants his life in every area to be so radically transformed by the gospel that every area of his life you could point to, think about like a spider web, any area of JJ's life, I want someone to look at it under a microscope and then glorify Jesus. The way I eat, the way I talk, everything hidden, everything behind a closed door, how I treat my wife, how I treat my dogs. If you had full access to 100% of my life, I sincerely desperately want it to only point to one thing, which is Jesus. And so I take that and then I go work out and I say, honestly, I want to be disciplined. I want to be healthy. I want to have an awesome body. Not so I feel better about myself at the end of the day. I have to be really careful about pride here, you know, and flexing and all these things and the compliments. I genuinely want to have a great body because I genuinely want to glorify God.
Yeah.
But the person viewing that, right, might view it as vanity. Because that is what vanity looks like quite frequently, right, in the world, you know? So what do you think about that? You think that's...
Yeah, I think, so when I fell off a skateboard, I dislocated my patella, I blew out all my cartilage. I couldn't hit legs for no lie about 2.5 years. And so recently I've been able to start squatting again. It's been a 4-year process. There's so much PT that I had to do, but people would make fun of my chicken legs all the time. Like, oh, your upper body is bigger than your lower body. And I was so insecure. Like, I was so insecure for the longest time. And I had to realize, man, like, I had my identity in high school and college and the way that I looked. And I really felt like freedom, dude, when I finally just was like, you know what? I'm wearing shorts. I don't care anymore. And because my identity is not in either how people perceive me, but like, I know like what the Lord believes of me and I know what I'm called to as a man. I know that I have a wife who loves me. Ultimately, like I think it's in Galatians. It's like, why would I seek the approval of of man when I'm trying to seek the approval of God. And that is ultimately it. Like, we as men seek the approval of God. And I think a really good podcast is, I think it's Sadie Robertson's husband, Christian Huff. He has like a, it's called 4-8 or something. And he talks about this a lot. And where it's like that balance of being an athlete and working out and not letting that overtake your life of like, man, when I look in the mirror, I like the way my back looks. I like the way my arm looks. And now I can be the husband that I can be. Now I can, you know, now my wife is going to like me. Now my wife's going to be attracted to me. Now my, you know, people, I walk into a room and people stare at me, and that's where I find my fulfillment in. It's like, no, because beauty is fleeting. And eventually you're going to be a 70-year-old man. And if all your identity for the past 40 years was built on the approval of others of how you look, you're going to have a really hard time with God when you are wrinkly. So you better figure that out now.
Yeah. Well, you know, it, you're, so your why deeply matters, yeah, right? Because the other thing too is, I think we justify our whys based on the results we see. And I can be deeply insecure and so insecure and caring that I want to be so accepted and validated. I will diet like crazy. I will work out like crazy. I will look like a shredded beast, right? But, and I can be like, it's effective. It worked. But my, the means and the why matters.
I got into the best shape of my life about a year, I'd say like 8-9 months ago, but I wasn't doing it in a healthy way. I was fasting for a long period of time, getting in my calories late at night, and my body was suffering. But on the outside, I looked like I looked healthy, but internally, like I wasn't. And I knew that. And I knew that, like, when, even when you're building a business, if you're making money the wrong way, eventually it gets exposed. And that goes into everything in your life. If you are the top leading salesperson in your business, but you know that you're on your phone every single day, and the only reason why you really got those sales is because, you know, you got kind of lucky. And so on paper, it looks great, but eventually it's going to get exposed, you know? And so that's what I feel like I haven't mastered yet. And I'm still working on, because, you know, growing up, like, I was in diet culture. My mom, my whole family was on Weight Watchers at a very early age. They just were like, they were very health conscious, but there were all these like fad diets, and it was like the keto this week, you know, and this and that this week, not dogging on my fam, but they were like very into like the diet culture. And that caused me to look at foods very interesting growing up. And so my brain was always just wired to like look the best, try to be the best. And that's how, and like kind of taking the scripture of like your body's a temple out of context, maybe a little bit.
Right, totally. And I think it is funny where you hit the faith and fitness world when it comes to that, because I do think we're always looking kind of for an excuse to kind of cover up. Really what it is just feeding our ego and pride.
What do you think of the like the gym Christian influencers? Like, what do you think of like, you know, we're Christians, but you know, we showing a little, you know, we got like a Bible verse with a good soundtrack, and the muscles are popping and everything. Like, do you think there's a line to that?
What do you think? I'm curious.
I don't know, man. I think a lot of it fires me up. I think it could cause someone to stumble. So I think that might be my only worry. But like Janine, you know, posts her videos of her working out every single day. And I know that she really tries to keep it to where it's like as modest as possible. It wouldn't cause anyone to stumble. So I think it's the heart behind like the why, but it is something that like I see sometimes. I'm like, oh, that's, you know, that's interesting.
Yeah. We've talked about modesty and lust before, and it does come down to the individual's heart. I think one thing we have to accept, is first of all, I can't judge. Everyone's on their journey, you know, as far as growing. And when I see that, my temptation is to judge. And I feel like the Spirit's beckoning is to pray. God, I have no idea where they're at. I just hope that their heart is in a place where it wants to glorify you and grow in that. And if they are wearing something that's revealing or scandalous, I think the gym culture, you know, in general outside the Christian world is super, super just vain. I think it's all vain, just like any other area of the world. But specifically, I think it's just you might as well have a shrine dedicated to yourself, you know? And I only know that because I've been there. Like I have worshiped myself. It's so bizarre. Like you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, you might as well have a statue carved out of yourself and be worshiping yourself.
But do you think that there is something just in our genetic code? I mean, 300 years ago, when you would look at like a tribe and you would find the biggest male, probably like you're the leader of the tribe. You're going to protect us. You are going to, you know, feed us. You're going to hunt. Do you think there's something still within our DNA as men? We want to be a protector of our family. We want people to believe that we can lead our tribe. And it might be seen as vanity, but do you think there's some merit to, I do see some of these guys and I'm like, no, I think there is some merit to like wanting to, I don't know, be a leader. And it's hard to be a leader when you're eating potato chips on your couch.
I think there's a shred of merit based on how we were designed that's gotten so blended and twisted by our flesh. Because the one leader I've committed to devoting my life to form every thought, habit, action, deed, my entire life is dedicated to mimicking one guy who was a leader, the world's best leader that's ever come. And I'm like, man, that is just so the opposite, I feel like, of how he modeled a leader. And everything he said, right, is the upside down kingdom of manhood and what I see, which is the greatest of you is the least among you. As the disciples, right, kind of like duke it out as young, you know, they're teenagers, by the way. So 14, 18, 19 years old, they're, you know, just like, they're going through puberty. They're going through this idea of like what it looks like to be a man. And they're coming to God saying, who among us is the greatest, right, that you love? And they're just so dumb. And I'm like, that's me, you know? And Jesus is just like, you guys just don't get it. Like, you guys will understand maybe in eternity one day when you see the cosmic death that I am Jesus. I am the Holy Trinity who's been here from the beginning. He's going to be here to the end. And I have come down all the way down to the place of a servant where I wash your feet. I speak your human language. I dumb myself down all the way to this place of just meekness, right? And servanthood. And I'm like, that actually fires me up more in my soul. I feel like it's this like coal engine that just when I start hearing that truth activated in my soul, I feel like that unlocks an eternal motivation and activation of my biblical manhood more than any Goggins, you know, video could ever come close to. It's like a sovereign cosmic gap of emotional, mental motivation, you know, that's fleeting here on earth. And when my soul, like when I wake up to the sobriety of how hungry my soul is as a man to just be activated and everything, like imagine just that waterfall. You know, have you ever seen Lord of the Rings, Two Towers?
I'm a Hobbit guy, not a Lord of the Rings.
Okay. So Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, they just break these dams open, you know, and they flood into Saruman's, like, you know, fiery village. I'm like, man, imagine being just so spiritually impacted by biblical truth and Jesus's way of leadership that it just unlocks the dams and bursts forward into like your emotional, physical, mental life. And I'm like, as we talk about doing hard things, I'm like, that I would say the day my life changes when I just felt like my manhood was just radically just transformed and just completely flipped upside down.
So good.
Compared to what I was feeding myself.
Have you thought about doing poetry?
No.
Golly, I felt like if we could clip that last 3 minutes, you just went into this, like, I was hearing your words and I could like, it was painting a picture like in my brain. And so that was good. I feel like you have, you know, I feel like a lot of the questions I ask, I know the answer to, but I feel like while I'm asking it, like I'm like working through the things I'm questioning in my own brain. And I just love your answer to every single one of my questions or even just thoughts, because I feel like I'm a verbal processor and it gets me in trouble sometimes because like I'll say something that like I don't really believe, but I think other people might believe it. And like there's some truth to it. And I have to be able to work that out. And you've always been somebody that I'm like, hey man, I'm thinking this. And you'll be like, okay, let's break this down. And so I've just always appreciated that about you. And
well, you know. I appreciate, you know, I think the best thing that Janine married and you is the fact that you're hungry to grow and you ask great questions. And here you are in my podcast asking me questions, you know.
What do you want to know? You want to ask a question?
Yeah, I do. I would ask, you know, currently, how does your spiritual life and motivation to be a man kind of, does it conflict against the hustle culture and the David Goggins? Like, do you feel like there are conflicting messages, or do you blend them together into this Caleb motivation that's specific to you?
Wow. Yeah. So I do think they can overlap, but they can easily become where I can, like today, I'll be honest with you. I didn't read my Bible today because I was meeting with a guy for coffee and, you know, we're talking about business. We're talking about, you know, he's kind of one of my mentors and super godly guy. And, but you know, it's more about how we're going to succeed and how I'm going to provide and some ideas that I have. And then immediately I went right to the gym and immediately I came back to work and immediately I'm on this podcast and I didn't, you know, take a second just to be like, Lord, thank you for another breath. Thank you. Equip me to be a good husband. Like, wouldn't that be a better way to start my day? If like everything's about him, like the first thing I do isn't to roll over. Like I got on TikTok and Twitter immediately to check the game from last night and to check the stock report and this and that and this and that. And I think that's where it can become unhealthy when my mind is so focused on providing for my wife, providing for our 401k, providing for to where we can give, to providing in a place where I can go work out and, you know, make sure my wife likes what she sees, you know, instead of being like, okay, like one step at a time. I don't even have the tools ready to go out and defeat the day because it's a losing battle, and I don't have the framework. Yes. If you don't have the framework to look through the lens of your day, and that's the Lord, and that's His Holy Spirit, it's going to be a tough day. And I've just found that when Janine does this so much better than me. I mean, she every morning, and that's why, man, if you're single, you want to marry somebody where, you know, hopefully you're just equal Christian, like with them, but like, I don't have to doubt that Janine is on that couch very early in the morning with that Bible open and she is getting into it. And not saying I don't do that with her a lot of times, but there are days I miss that. And there are days where I am preoccupied with the pressures of society that we've put on men. And that's how I find my worth in how my wife perceives me. And when she's just like, man, I married you because you were a godly, godly man. And spiritually, I was so attracted to you that if you lose that, and that was the beginning focus of why she fell in love with you, you're going to lose yourself along the way.
But what if I'm single? You know, how would single Caleb without a wife have that same kind of, what I would probably call that is bumpers. You know, you go bowling and you install bumpers, right? If you suck at bowling like me, those bumpers that just keep you in the lane, what would those bumpers look like to just remind you like, hey man, Caleb.
Friends, bro, Janine wouldn't have dated me if it wasn't for my friends, because there's only so much self-control. I feel like as a single man, it's so hard. There's so much either temptation or just so many different, like, you know, when you go to the store and there's so many different jellies to choose from, like, man, it's hard to choose which jelly you want. And it's like, as a man, it's like, you can go this route, you can go this route, you can go this route. And I surrounded myself by men who love the Lord so much that it was uncomfortable sometimes. They were so nosy and involved in my dating life and in every facet. I woke up to my roommate. It's kind of funny. I feel like you will marry your roommate a lot of the times. I would wake up every morning and see my roommate Luke in the Word and in prayer. And that was, and he was older than me. And it's funny, Janine is older than me. And so it was just funny because like I had dudes in my life who I think in a lot of ways were better than me and had more spiritual maturity. And it challenged me to like they would remind me of who I am when they would see me not in church for a week, or they would see me speak in a way, or like, I remember one time I was laying in bed one night, or we were all in my roommate's room. It sounds really weird, but all three of us guys are sitting there and, you know, just
girls night, you're all on the bed, you know?
And, this was about a year and a half ago when I was like thinking about going back to school to finishing my undergrad. And my buddy goes, Caleb, like, you've talked about this for so long. Like, either be about it or do it. Like, stop talking about it. And I'm seeing a pattern in your life where you're doing a lot of talking, whether that's about your faith or, and you're not really living out some of the things you're saying. And bro, it hurt. It hurt so bad. But it rooted me in like, wow, I had like a mirror. And that's what Janine does to me even now in marriage. Like, she's like a mirror. And you need to let down your pride to allow people to come in and speak into your life. And if you don't have that, like, do a search on Craigslist and make a post. Like, you need to find it. Find it immediately.
Have you ever heard of this verse, Proverbs 27:6?
No.
You're gonna love it, because here you go. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses.
Wow, I've never heard that before. I have never heard that before.
And some people might hear that and just go on like a crusade of just absolutely crucifying their friends. I don't think so. That would probably be a minority. But I think there's a lot of guys who need to hear that from receiving or giving truth to their friend. I would tell you, as a single guy, I wish I would have had the courage to speak up a little bit more, like what your friend said to you, with the Holy Spirit guiding those words and truth and love, and just saying, Caleb, hey man, I love you. And this might hurt a little bit, but you're doing a lot of talking in your life. And just as a friendly brother who sees and has the privilege to be in your life, it's all talk. Like, I'm not seeing a lot of walk. But if I didn't really love you, or even worse, if I was an enemy, I'd be like, yeah, Caleb, I love it when you talk about this stuff.
Yeah. Don't put so much pressure on yourself. You know?
Yeah. You should honestly open up a podcast where you just talk about this more.
Me?
No, I'm kidding. that's what an enemy would say,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
But no, seriously, you know, Caleb, as you said that, I'm like, man, I do look back, and there were a few times in my life where I lived with roommates and they weren't bad guys and vice versa. I just kind of wish I would have had the...
Luke,
I don't want to say self-respect, but like just the like gumption to say, you know what? I want to live with guys who are going to challenge me in every way, but most of all spiritually.
Dude, my roommates would take a photo of my bed when it wasn't made and put it in the group text and I don't recommend doing that because it made me mad and it was rude, but there was a level of accountability there that was uncomfortable and annoying. But guess what? I sure made my bed when I knew they were coming over again. And I sure, you know, now I'm, you know, try to make the bed, you know, being married a lot more. And so, I think a lot of things are rooted in how you surround yourself. We're growing, dude. I'm trying to be.
Well, it's great. You know? But, you know, the one thing I think I hear you say that I love is, you know, when I don't feel like doing something, you know what carries me through a lot of the times? The power of habit. That's probably my favorite thing about habits, is because if I'm being honest, I'm lazy, but I embrace a laziness. I don't demonize it. I don't say it's a great thing. I just embrace it and say, you know, honestly, I'm lazy. So 4:45, when I don't feel like waking up, you know what will wake me up? A habit, a really, really great habit. And I think, you know, Noah Heron, he's a pastor in Nashville with an awesome up and coming church with Grant Skelton called The Way Church. We've done stuff with them. And he goes, honestly, I was not in a great Bible reading habit. So, and I love coffee. So he said, I would not allow myself to make that nice pour over coffee and blah, blah, blah until I read my Bible. And I'm like, you know what? If that is the little hack or habit and tip that you have to get yourself to get in such a spiritual rhythm and habit, I think for the short term, I'm fine with it, because the long-term habit and practice itself is not so that you can keep getting coffee, but it's so that you can grow intimacy with God.
I mean, even just as you're talking, like, I fail in in a ton of ways. And I think that is the reality of this. I think you can follow a lot of these people on social media, you yourself being one, and you and I sit and we have phone calls, and it's just like you can never get to a place where you think are good as a man.
Yes,
like you got to keep evolving, because the minute one thing starts to slip and you start getting good in one area, another thing, it's just like, it's kind of like the economy. When something goes, it's like, something happens and it changes and circumstances change, or your wife has an issue here. And the minute you start thinking you're good, and then it's like, you're missing in this area. And so I think you've covered a lot of it. Do you have any more questions for me, JJ?
Yeah. Probably a closing one or two. How's this?
I thought we're going to go for like 3 hours.
Was it Cat Williams and Shannon Sharp did like a 3-hour podcast?
Dude, I want to do one so bad.
But everyone kind of took it as an excuse to doing super, super long content. And I'm like, we're not as interesting as Shannon Sharp.
Dude, I can't be. Dude, Janine gets so mad at me sometimes because I'm pretty unfiltered. And I think that's what's like, that's what I want to see. That's why I like some of these podcasts that love them or hate them, but they're so unfiltered where you're getting such an authentic version of themselves. I'm not saying it's right, but I do think that, especially as Christians, I never would just want to like come on a podcast or come anywhere and be like, just act like I have it 24/7 all together and speak in this righteous way. And
why is that?
Why?
Yeah.
Because it would be fraudulent, I think. I think it'd be fraudulent to like come on a podcast after an argument with your wife or knowing you've acted in a certain way and to get on a podcast. I think that's why you've seen so many pastors get in trouble or things happen, because they aren't like our pastor says all the time, I think it's so good, like taking off the crown. And if you can, the more times you can take off the crown of like people saying like, oh, you have it, you're so good. You're like, take it off. Nope. Take it off.
Yeah.
And amen. That removes all type of performance pressure. It's like, nope, this is the true me. This is who I am.
I think I think we constantly point at ego, right? And, JP says all the time, I was built to reflect glory, not absorb a single ounce of it. And, one thing that I do, that for me is 2 Corinthians 9, 2 Corinthians 12, where, guess what, Caleb? All we can do and all we should do as men who are sober to our sin and flesh is boast in our weakness, right? It's like all I can do is just boast in my weakness, because when I'm weak, guess who's magnified?
But you know what sucks about boasting in your weakness? It sucks to like, if you ever leave in a situation after you boasted in your weakness too long, you leave and you're like, dang, they probably think I suck. You know, like there's that, like, you want people to innately believe. Is that the right word? Innately?
Yeah.
You want people to innately believe that you are, like, that's what a human being, you want people to think you're special. And so when you boast in your weakness, it feels counterintuitive, but I think it really does. It creates authenticity in the room where people can start coming forward and like, oh, you're not perfect. Oh, here's what I'm struggling with too. And it creates like a place where people are just being able to be vulnerable.
Well, you know what hit me as you walk away and you think about that? I'm like, because I've been there too, to a degree. I want to walk away and say, man, I hope Christ was really magnified in that conversation. I hope they were really struck by how awesome Jesus is. Not because, I was beating myself up. I shared this last week or with another guy. Tim Keller talks about, the gift of self-forgetfulness. And he goes, when you meet someone who's truly humble, you don't walk away from them saying, man, they're just so humble, or man, they really just beat up on themselves so much. He goes, you walk away saying, man, they were just so focused on other people. They were just so focused on me the whole time. They were so focused on Jesus the whole time.
You know what I've tried to live my life by, and I think it's similar to what you just said, is if you see something great in somebody, tell them. If you see an attribute in somebody, there's too many people walking around with unbelievable skill sets that no one will point out because they are either, they don't think that would mean that much to that person. But I've tried to make it like a, it can be the smallest thing, dude. When you're around somebody and you're just like, you just, you want to be somebody who just is an encouragement to, you never know what they're going through. Like, I need that so much in my life now. Like, people will say things to me now and I'm like, dude, thank you for saying that. It could be the smallest thing. Like, you're,
amen.
Like, I think someone told me the other day, like, man, dude, you're looking taller. And I was like, thank you.
Well, have you seen that graphic with the circle? Imagine a big circle, big white circle with like a little dot in it. And it's like, what you know about someone's life is that dot. And what's actually going on in their life is that whole entire circle, right? And it's just such a helpful picture of like, you just don't know. But I actually love that. I think you have a kindness in you that really desires to empower people, which I think, listen, God speaks so much more through people in our lives than I think we even realize. But Ephesians 4 talks about the edification of the church and the edification of their body. And I think you do walk in a gifting of the power of the tongue, which is to edify.
I think that's such a compliment. And that's something that I want to be, I'm not going to get perfect in every area, but you know, it's something that I want to keep striving for, you know?
Yeah. Amen. Because, you know, and it all comes back to, if there's a guy listening to this, the why, your why, I would actually say, and you tell me what you think about this, your why is the most important thing about you.
Yeah. I walked for so long in my life, high school, college, and just didn't know why I did anything. And I would take this job, I'd be working this job, and I'm like, why the heck am I here? Like, why am I, yeah, I'm getting paid, you know, some money, but like, there's no reason for me to be here right now. Because this doesn't, like, there's nothing within this, because I didn't have a framework. I didn't have that why. And it wasn't until about 3 or 4 years ago where I started to be intentional with everything that I did. Everything had like a future looking into this of how this is going to affect my life. And I think you got to write that down. And it's really, really, really changed my life. Like I got to stop saying like so much. Something in like just kills me. I want to hear your why, because I think it says a lot about a man. Like, I really, and this is cliche, but I want to love God and I want to love people. That's it. If that is how I'm judged upon the day I die, is how I love God and how I love people, then nothing else, everything else I'm doing, if I'm going to go back to school, like, how do I love God and love people through that in every decision I make, you know?
Amen. It's, yeah. And it's easy to have a written why. It's really hard to live out your why. You know, my why, I mean, I'll be honest. I think it's always been a journey. I'm desperate to know God more. And I'm desperate to specifically with men, show them God's love. And there's just so much more for them. And I've been so convicted lately, especially on evangelism. I'm just like, man, dude, if I really believe what I believe, why am I not more concerned with the eternal souls of every single person I am running into? I have 3 or 4 guys at the gym I'm thinking of right now that over a year I've built up a relationship. Why am I not like heartbroken and just beckoning and begging God to show up in their life and inviting them and encouraging them and asking them questions, right? Like, that's where, if my why is really that I love God and I really love people and I really love men and I want them to experience Jesus, why is that not translating into my everyday?
Yeah. Well, I think it goes down to what you want your why to be versus what your why actually is. And what my why actually is self-centeredness.
Yeah.
Success. You know, how people view me. People think I'm funny. Like, that's really my fleshly, like, why. But spiritually, and what my soul craves is the approval and the love of God. And the only way to really have the approval of God is by accepting him into your heart and living out what you live, not by your works, not by anything. But it's like, I just love the crossover between, and this goes into hustle culture. It's like, you're saved through grace and faith alone.
Right.
But also the crossover to that is faith without works is dead. And, right. And so like, I'm trying to find a balance between those, both of those scriptures.
Right. Amen. Well, and you know, a life saved by grace should be so fueled by that gratitude and impact that it just overflows into an activated life of faith and works. But
why don't, and I know we got to wrap up soon, but why do you think that a heart doesn't break a lot of the times? For I'll see guys at the gym, and you know, today even I was talking to a guy and he was talking in a certain way, and you know, I left and I didn't think about it. And I feel like I used to. I feel like when I first gave my life to Christ, I would literally get so torn up that if every person didn't know him. And I feel like I've gotten a little bit, you know, just kind of used to it. You know, been a Christian for so long, it just becomes redundant after a while. And I think that is you just pointed out, like a good thing that I want to remind myself, like why my heart should break when people don't know him.
Yeah, I think it could be a couple things. I think people, and myself included, struggle with evangelism of the gospel for a few different reasons. It can be apathy. It could be fear of what they might do or how they reject me. It could be ignorance to the good news of the gospel and what's at stake here. Like ignorance to eternity is probably one of the biggest reasons of just thinking it's all about now in this life and having no consciousness and sobriety to eternity and what's at stake. We're talking about billions and billions and billions of years at stake compared to these fleeting moments and seconds and minutes of time on this earth.
Last question I want to ask you. When you get off these podcasts, do you ever struggle with like, man, what did I say? Like the approval of, did I say anything dumb? You've been podcasting for a long time. I've always wondered. I've only done this for, I've been on Janine's, you know, eight or nine times. This is like one of my first, this is my first podcast I've done ever without Janine. And I feel like every time I leave, bro, like how do you get to a place where you are not bounded to the opinions of what I said? Did I sound articulate in the Christian world? Did I say something wrong or unbiblical? I feel like I'm in this like struggle bus of not caring what people think. And then also at the same time, like really like I'll go to the comments and I'll get like anxiety where I'm like, oh no, what's going to be said here?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's such a good question. I think it kind of reminds me of that story you told walking away from the conversation of like, did they think I suck? You know, all these things. And it's like, man, I just want to be so obsessed with Jesus and trusting that anything dumb, anything, you know, prideful, anything arrogant that came across was me and my flesh trying to make it happen. And just total, and there's grace for that, right? Like I don't say everything right and perfectly every time. And I know that, but I think I boast in that now more than ever before, because if there is one thing, Caleb, that even impacted you in this conversation and vice versa, I attribute it to Jesus speaking through us, which is the greatest miracle I could ever freaking ask for. Right. And I just surrender to the fact like, hey God, if there's anything that any semblance of good that was right, that was holy, that struck a nerve, that hit good soil, and there's a seed there. Thank you, Jesus, because that was 100% you. And I know myself at this point, and you've just, God has revealed layer after layer after pride, after ego, after just like self-glorification that, you know, I just know anything that's good that comes out of these is just Jesus. And I'm totally at peace with the fact that anything, I'm thinking about a review I saw lately. I'm like laughing at it. I'm like, it's true. You know, when JJ speaks, it's no bueno. But when God does through me, it's always good.
Yeah. Boast in your weakness.
Amen. Well, bro, I love you so much. Thank you for coming on this. I felt like this was like a co-hosted, Jason and Travis Kelce podcast more than a
I felt like this was like legit felt like just a regular phone call we have.
Yeah, I know, bro. Well, I'm looking forward to more. I think this is a lot of fun, man. And I love your humility and your insight. And I love the fact that you'll put yourself on the chopping block for Caleb's sake and for other people's sake. And I think, you know, it takes a lot of courage and vulnerability to say the things that you do.
Thank you. I learned it from you.
You learned it from Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Amen.
Through the vessel of JJ.
Yeah, there you go. That's one way to say it. Amen. All right. Love you, bro.
Love you too, man.